Good morning. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be able to come and speak to and help fill in. I know we are out in a time and folks had to fill in for me, and I'm very thankful for that. I know the elders may say that they give me a hard thing to fill in for all these lessons, but honestly, it's more work on my wife because she's got to deal with the three kids. So she's the one that's working harder, I think. This morning, we're going to be looking at the topic by reason of time. Now, this morning's Bible lesson, we talked about redeeming the time and making the most of our time and our attitude that we should be having towards time. This is a little bit related. It kind of talks more on a particular focus of, you know, we've got so much time, what are we going to do with it? How do we improve and what we're going to do? So it's not a repetition of what we talked about this morning necessarily. There is some things that are relatable, but let's look at how we can, by reason of time, we should be growing in our faith, and how are we progressing, how are we doing that? Brother Mickey mentioned to me that I need to learn to slow down a little bit when I talk. Things are a little bit hectic right now, so that's got me up too, but I do naturally tend to talk quickly, and I don't really public speak on a regular basis where I have to remind myself constantly, so I'm going to try to, I made a note on my page to remind myself to. I do tend to have a tendency to talk very quickly, so we'll try to slow down. I apologize if I do talk too quickly. It's hard to break that sometimes because that's how I naturally talk, and no one can understand me anyway, so I'm not sure why I don't do that. Slow down anyways. But if we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 that was read this morning, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teaches you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you are become such as having the need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And I apologize, I've had some lingering congestion from being out sick, and then I was in a lot of hay stuff yesterday, and that got to me too. So between allergies and that, I'm trying to keep my throat from catching up, but I'll try to make the best of it. So here we learn that there ought to be a progression. Here there was an expectation that there was some growth, which did not happen. And can you imagine here that you come in, that you've taught a congregation, and you set it up, and then you come back and you expect, okay, the congregation is going to be so much higher in terms of their spiritual growth, and then you come in and realize that they're all still babes in Christ. There should be some progression where we are encouraging and uplifting one another, we're doing the work and building off of one another, but rather than just simply being stagnant and not doing anything. As we look into the natural world, we see that there is some certain expectations that we may normally have in life, not to say that this is for everyone, there are certainly exceptions, but generally, we expect babies after they are born that they're in diapers for a while, but eventually they outgrow that, they're potty trained, and they get older. And there's a lot of different things that they happen as they get older. They start school. Again, there may be some kids that have problems, but generally, they start school, they are going to go through their school, they can complete that school, and then maybe later on, they marry, they will date. They will get a job, they will move out of the house. There are all certain things that we expect someone to do. If we have someone who is still in one of the earlier stages in their later life, there's a problem. And there may be a legitimate case for those. But we understand that there are some cases where they don't progress and there's a reason behind it. But naturally, as on average, there is a natural progression as we grow in our physical life. Same thing with a job. If you go work at a job, there's sort of an expectation there that you're not going to simply remain at the same level when you come in. You're going to grow and you're going to realize, hey, I'm going to step up, either become a supervisor, a manager, or even further up. Maybe it's just a matter of going from the intro level. You know, maybe at McDonald's you're just flipping burgers, but then you grow, you get up to a little bit higher level, you're taking more responsibility. There's different jobs, and there's obviously different the roles and jobs and progressions and availability and or not to move up. But we know that when you go to a job, you may not have all the experience that you need. But as you work, you become better at what you're doing. So even if it is something that's like flipping burgers at McDonald's, maybe when you come in, you really don't know what's going on, but you learn, you figure it out. And now you really get it. You know how to make that burger really good. You don't expect someone to still 20 years working there to be like, I really don't know what to do. You still got to tell me what to do. You need to grow. So we know that that happens in our natural life, in our jobs, things like that. Well, same thing spiritually. There should be a natural progression. When we come in, when we are new Christians, we don't know everything. We've learned enough to understand what God wants us to do, that there are sin in our lives that we need to obey God, that we need to come to Him and follow His plan. But we may not understand all the little nuances of those plans, and so we need to... change these out real quick, maybe. And I apologize. So we see that there is... Justin, can you grab me two AAA batteries? Hopefully that I fixed it. I didn't realize that it was left on in my bag. But we see that there is the seed that was sown, and either it withered or it was bringing forth fruit. But as reason of time, there should be some sort of a growth, and we're not simply still that seed that was sown in the ground. So if you look at Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, so this is one of the accounts of the parable of the sower, and then we have the explanation of verses 13 through 20. So we see in verses 3 through 8, it says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So there may be different cases that we see where the seed is not able to grow. And we understand that. Maybe there was other things that were hindering the person. Maybe they had friends that they were still in the world as they tried to come out of the world, but that they struggle. And so they were not able to completely grow. Those cares and distractions choked it out. Or others that simply did not grow. They kind of sprung up, but they got zealous at first and, hey, I want to do this. But then that wasn't really what they were used to. They were used to other kinds of life, and that just wasn't, they weren't able to really get their roots in the ground. And of course, those that fell on the wayside, they didn't even accept the word. But we understand, even with plants, the plant, it springs up, it should grow. In this case, there were things that were, there were things in the life of the, it's a parable, so there are things in the lives of these individuals that were preventing them that they didn't do anything about. Hopefully that we can do some things. Hopefully we have brethren that will help us clean those weeds up and help us to get those distractions out of the way. But we have to grow. So we have to make sure that we get past those things and we are at a better state where we are bearing forth that fruit. And in verse 8 again, it says that those that fell on good ground yielded fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So there was growth. There was different levels of growth. There were some that was 30, some 60, some 100. We have different abilities. Hopefully that which is bearing a small amount of fruit, hopefully one day will bear 100-fold. So we see that even with plants, as you plant maybe a fruit tree, that at first, maybe the first couple of years, there's really not a whole lot of fruit. It's a smaller tree. But as it grows and grows, it becomes to have much more fruit on it. And that's what we should be doing. If it's still a large, mature tree, but it's not... it's either bearing forth fruit that is just not ripening completely or only getting a little bit of fruit. There's something wrong with that tree. Something needs to be done to help it to grow. And we'll actually get into that a little bit. Actually, in Luke chapter 13, we'll kind of talk about that. So that which is growing but is not really bringing forth fruit is going to be cut down. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and read Mark 4, 13 through 20, the explanation of this parable. For those who may not be as familiar with it, we'll go and look at that. In verse 13, as they explain the parable, we kind of mentioned it a little bit already, but know ye not this parable, and how will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So here they accept the word. I want to be baptized. I hear the call to come and obey, and I'm excited. I want to do what I feel in the moment to do, but they are not really grounded. They don't understand all that is required of them, and so Satan comes and snatches them away. They are not really able to sustain it long term, or really at all. And those are likewise which are thrown on the stony ground, who, when they heard the word, they receive with gladness. And when they have no root in themselves, and so they endure for a time, but afterwards affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So again, if you have a plant that just really doesn't have roots, it really cannot grow very well. It may grow a little bit, enough to where that soil is there, but once it grows beyond the capacity of that soil, and if it stones underneath, it really is not going to mature. Same thing in our lives. If our lives are so filled up with other things that we're not letting our spiritual side grow, letting the word grow in our hearts, and there's too much other stuff blocking it, we're not going to be able to grow spiritually because everything else is taking the way. We need to get those rocks out of there. Just like a farmer who may go and have stones in the field, they don't leave them. They go and they pull them. It's a hard task. Likewise, it may be hard for us to take certain things. Maybe there's something that we really want to do. There are things that I like to do, and they're hard to give up sometimes. But if you realize that, you know, this really is not as important, you know, maybe we really need to have some long thoughts with ourselves. In this conversation, you can talk to yourself too, but we need to meditate on those things and realize, you know, hey, heaven's more important than whatever it is, fishing, hunting, whatever you might enjoy doing, playing video games, whatever you enjoy doing. Is heaven more important than those things? If they are, then let's get those stones out of the field. Let's let that word grow in our hearts. And these are those which are sown among the thorns, which hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust thereof, enters in, chokes the word, and becomes unfruitful. Again, a very similar experience there. And these are those which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. They receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So any of these could be us. Again, it's all a matter of where our heart is. And we sometimes look at this strictly from the standpoint of when that word is sown. And we think, okay, well, those that have had the thorns and the stones, that they are not here because they've already fallen away. And so we must be left, and we are the good ground. But that may not be the case. Maybe there are things that are still in our lives that are choking the word out. We just don't realize that. So we need to be cultivating. We need to be like the farmer who's realizing, okay, there's weeds in my field, there's thorns, there's stones. Let's continue to cultivate that because we need to be bringing forth fruit. So how do we do that? We continually go in and we repair the fields, we prepare our hearts, and we make sure that those things are set up and that we can accept the word and that we can grow, making sure that all those obstacles are removed. Some Christians grow. In some sense, they're not really growing, but they are not bringing forth fruit and they will be cut down. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, speaks and says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he came by looking for fruit, and he found none. Then he said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, it wasn't just then, it was 3 years he has been coming and finding no fruit, and he says, cut it down, why is it encumbering the ground? And he answered and said, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bears fruit, well, and if not, after that, you can cut it down. This is another case of a very wonderful passage that has so much meaning to it that we can gain from, like many passages in the Bible. And the entire Bible is useful, but if you think about this passage, so here's a fruit tree that was not bearing forth fruit. What's the natural thing? Let's cut it down. It's not doing good. It's not fruitful. So what if we were like that? What if we were like the tree that is not bearing forth fruit? We're simply coming in, we're attending, we're not growing, we're not bringing forth good fruit, we're merely here. God says it's time to cut them down. When it comes to judgment day, if we're not bearing forth fruit, that's what he is going to say. But here the vine dresser says, no, let's take care of it. Let's give it another chance. And let's see if it'll grow. Let's try to give it some care and see if that helps it to bear fruit. God wants us to repent. God wants us to be saved. It's not like he's out looking for all the ones that are unfruitful. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. No, he wants us to grow and develop and to bear forth fruit. But in the end, when it comes to judgment day, those who have not had that fruit, not been bearing that fruit, that they will be cut down because they've been told to do these things, but they have not grown to produce it. So we need to be growing lest we are cut down. Again, what fruit are we bearing? Maybe it's good fruit, maybe it's bad fruit. So we can say, well, we're bringing forth fruit. Yep, there it is. So if we have fruit, are we bringing forth good fruit or evil fruit? And if so, what are we going to do? So Matthew chapter 7, verses 15. In Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth fruit, good fruit, and a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Whereby by their fruits you shall know them. Now we talked the other day about judging and how we need to have righteous judgment. And this is why. Because we can see fruit. Maybe we look and we say, okay, well, here's someone that is preaching the word and they're doing great things. And so we assume naturally that, okay, well, they're bearing fruit. They're having Bible studies, whatever they're doing. But until you dig deeper, maybe they're teaching false doctrine and we're not really paying attention to it. So you cannot strictly go by outward appearances sometimes, and it's not to say that we need to nitpick and just dig into everything and say, oh, I'm going to judge you over this little small thing and say, well, you shouldn't be. We do need to evaluate and help one another grow, but we also need to be careful that we're not simply looking for issues if there aren't any and trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, as we sometimes say. But we need to look at that fruit, because if that fruit, just because we think that we're bearing fruit, maybe we're really not bearing good fruit. Maybe that's really not. So maybe we're participating in services, but we're not really doing it in the right heart. Is that really good fruit? Or is it more so like a fruit that's on the tree, but it's withered up and shriveled up, and it's really not good? You're going to throw it out. So as we serve God, are we doing that with the right attitude? Or is it just merely out of repetition and not really doing it out of the way we should be and bearing forth that fruit? But we do need to be able to judge. There are false teachers. And so what is their fruit? Is it really the good fruit that God has commanded, or is that fruit that they're bearing evil? So we need to be able to determine that. We need to look at ourselves as well and figure that out. We must be planted by the word. So hopefully you remember the Psalm chapter 1, that talks about the tree that is planted by the water. And from a logical standpoint, you know, that makes sense. So a tree planted by the water ought to do well. It's got plenty of water to grow. You know, if you have a tree in the middle of a desert, it's not going to do well unless you find some way to get it some water. There are certain that will grow in deserts, but, you know, trees that need water, they have to have some way to get it. But Psalms 1 tells us, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we look in the first couple of verses, it talks about this man who is walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. They're not standing in the way of sinners. They're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. But what are they doing? Their delight is in the law of the Lord. And what are they doing again? Meditating on it day and night. So they're not simply showing up at services, sitting in the seat, and then they're gone, and they're doing their own thing. There is a meditation. That means to think intently. Or do we meditate day and night on God's word? And we think about, you know, hey, there's this passage that maybe someone brought up in a sermon in the Bible class, and we think about it throughout the week, and we think, how can I really apply that to my life? Am I doing that? Or maybe, are we doing this? maybe it's a passage that you think about, hey, are we actually doing what God commands? Let me think about this passage and understand it and come to better understanding. That is how they will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, because they are bringing that water and they are coming to it and they are drinking that water. So that tree that is by the rivers of water that's going to flourish because it has that growth and that ability because of the water. When we bring God's word near us, that's what's going to cause us to grow. But when that Bible is up on the shelf getting nothing but dust, while all our DVD collection is getting plenty of views, our priorities are probably messed up. And actually, I would say they are messed up. Because we're not seeking that water. We're not seeking to grow, but rather we're seeking to simply be entertained. There's nothing wrong with being entertained. There's a time for that, like we talked about in Bible class. But if God's word and service to God is being neglected, we are not growing because we are not establishing ourselves by that water to grow. And so the ungodly, they're the ones that are just kind of chasing after everything, and they're going to be blown away. And they're also they're going to stay in judgment for what they've done. And so are we. And so are we, again, meditating on God's word. I know I needed to work more on that. Life gets busy. We have a lot of things to do. A lot of things that need to be done. Not ungodly things. We have work. We have families. We have chores to take care of. We have homes to take care of. Vehicles to take care of. All that requires work. We also have to be sleeping. There is a place for recreation to recharge our batteries. But we've got to make time for God's word. We need to be growing. Or else we will be, when we do get to judgment, we are going to be found unfaithful because we have not made time. And again, you cannot go back. You cannot go and say, well, let me redo that. Can I have a redo? I kind of messed up the first time around. No, this is what you have, so let's make the best of it. We have that time to grow. By reason of time, we should be growing. And also, if you do not take advantage of that time, it's gone. And all that opportunity for growth goes with it. And so we see that in the case of Hebrews chapter 5. They wasted that time that they could have been growing. And then when the writer comes and sees them, they've done nothing. They're still babes in Christ. Are we keeping the word of God near our heart like we see in Psalms chapter 1? That tree which is planted by the rivers of water, are we planting our lives by God's word? Or again, is it up on a shelf somewhere where we rarely think about it, or if the only time we do is to pick it up to take to services? Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, another passage that I feel like maybe myself, I need to have posted on the wall to look at it every time I walk in out of the doors. There's a reason that God told the people to have it on the door, these words on the doorposts of their house, because it helps you to remember what you should be doing as a constant reminder of things to think about and focus on rather than being focused on everything else. It says, in these words which I command you in Deuteronomy 6, starting verse 6, these words I command you this day shall be in your heart. You will teach them to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. So we see this idea of putting it before you to think about. You can't think about something very well if it's off and you put it on the back burner. You put it on the back burner for a reason. You put it on the back burner because you don't have the time to address it right now. God's word should be on the front burner always. It should be there. There may be other things that we got to take care of, but that should always be something that we come to. And throughout our day, thinking about God's word, what can we do for others? Are we doing what's right? We need to be thinking about that. Rather than, okay, well, let's go through life and let's do whatever we want to. And then, okay, well, maybe I need to think about, okay, are there any sins I need to think about? We need to be thinking about that daily. Because we don't know what time we have. We talk about it again in Bible class. We talk about it very often. We don't know what time we have, and so if we think, well, I've got tomorrow to fix this, well, no, you don't. You may not. As we're trying to be planted by the water, by the word, you know, maybe that involves living and worshiping with faithful brethren. Oftentimes, people may choose a lucrative job, a promotion that takes them somewhere. It's going to do very well for them financially. It will help them provide for their family. And that's your decision. It's a decision I have to make in my life. We see this as a decision where to live affected Lot as well. In Genesis chapter 13, starting verse 12, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And if you look at the story of Lot, we see at first he set his tents towards Sodom. Now some try to go into there and say, well, you know, it was towards, so like he was getting closer and closer to Sodom. Regardless, he was close by a very wicked city, and eventually he was in the city. Am I saying that you need to evaluate the city and say, hey, you know, well, X city is not very righteous? And there are some cities that are generally considered to be sinful, and there's a lot of things that go on, and those probably are some good places to stay away from. But when we go to live somewhere, sometimes where we're going to worship kind of takes a second or lighter checklist option. You know, is that job, is the money, is the house, all these things that we want for ourselves. And then it's like, okay, once we get there, now let's go look for a congregation. And there's none there. Or you have to drive 2 hours, 3 hours away, and you're not going to do it. So you just kind of compromise. And there are many that do this. That where to worship becomes much later than where their first choice is where they're going to live, where they're going to work, and that's their priority. Yes, we need to be concerned about providing for our families, and that involves where we live and also our jobs. But we need to be very careful. It's so easy to get caught up into that's what's important. But in the end, if we let our children fall away because we don't have that strength, because we are taking them away from the Word, we're taking them away from that water. And it's easy to say, well, I'll be strong, and I will convince them, and that doesn't normally happen. So I just urge you to be very careful as we think about those things, that making sure that when you make decisions of where to live, where you're going to worship is very much a priority. Think about that. Think about what impact that's going to have if you find a place to live, to move to, that does not have a strong congregation. And how is that going to affect you spiritually? And is it worth your soul for that extra income? The scriptures also give guidance on these things about where... And I'm sorry, I know that font's a little small up there. And it's harder maybe to see in the back. But the scriptures give guidance in 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. How do we know how we should live? How do we know what God wants of us? We turn to His Word. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, but continue in the things which you have learned and heard and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. So how do we grow? Is it looking at a bunch of self-help books that we see that men have written? Those things might be helpful to make us think about things. But how do we learn how to actually live and what God wants? We look at His Word. He has given us His Word. And yes, if we have some struggles trying to understand it, first off, read it and try to understand it. Talk with other folks and other brethren and see what their ideas are and see if they can help encourage you and help you understand it. And other men might be able to help. Just be careful. You know, we are humans. We do fail. We don't always have all the answers. And so we need to be careful of the books we read about spiritual things, because there is error that you need to be aware of. But the scriptures are what gives us our guidance that we should be following. And again, that is how you're going to have that word, that water, like the tree. The tree that's planted by the waters, it is God's word that is going to give that growth and help us understand what to do. And if we're not attending like we should, if we're not reading God's Word like we should, those are all things that have now taken away that water source from that tree, and we're no longer able to grow. What are some signs that we have failed to grow? When earthly things are more important than those which are spiritual, we have probably failed to grow. When our priorities are not right, when there are things that are getting in the way, look back to the parable of the sower. When there are things that are in the way that is not allowing that fruit to grow, the fruit, the tree will die. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. This kind of reminds me of the story of Moses, how he was in Pharaoh's house, and he thought it better to endure punishment and than to live in a life of luxury, in a sense, to be with his people and to be with God's people, rather than simply taking the easy road and the easy life. The things that are in the world, there are so many distractions. We're physical beings, and those things are distracting us. All those things in the world try to pull us away from God's word. The devil would love us to get distracted by the things of the world and go here and there and stay so busy that we can't pay attention. Because the more that we're focused on God's word, guess what? The more that we're able to combat that temptation and fight it. And he would rather us to fall away. And so those distractions, they get to us. And when we let them, that's when we will fall. So if we are putting more focus on those physical things, that will not help us get to heaven. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. Speaking of a soldier, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The same thing can be said of our work life. Your boss is not going to be very happy if you've got a bunch of distractions, that when you're at work, you're really not doing your work because you're doing a bunch of other things. When you're at work, you should be working. Same thing with a soldier. When you're a soldier, you're not going around and trying to entangle yourself in the things that are going on around you. You have a job to do. You've been commissioned to do it, and that's what you need to focus on. You pretty much give everything you have, your life, to the army or wherever you're serving, because that is what you committed to. Same thing in our life and spiritual. We've committed to serve God. If we are getting distracted by those things that are not spiritual, it's going to pull us away from God. We're not able to serve God. We can't serve God and mammon. So we know that when you're trying to serve two different things, they're so different, you're not going to be able to give it all. And which is more important, this physical that on this life that is going to be gone, or that which is spiritual that lasts forever? So we need to think about those things. Perhaps we're not growing, we're not observing the Lord's Supper properly. We're not going to go read this passage for the sake of time, but we often read it when we observe the Lord's Supper. So in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, he rebukes the Corinthians because they have taken God got the ordained Lord's Supper and turned it into a common meal. They weren't doing it properly. They were treating one another and taking precedence over one another. And it was all more about them and what they wanted than it was about serving and obeying God. So we need to be careful as we observe the Lord's Supper. It's so easy to get caught up into, we just take the emblems and we don't think about what they mean. It's so easy. They're distractions. Trying to do it with a two-year-old sitting in your lap is flying everywhere and grabbing everything is hard too. We have things that distract us. Our thoughts and our minds don't always concentrate on the things that we should. It's a battle. But it's something that we must do. And it's so easy, again, on something that we do every week to think, well, just take it, we do it every week. It's just the same thing we do. It's hard to remember every week to stop and think about what we're doing and what it represents. Examine ourselves, make sure that we're taking it the right way. And so if we're not growing, we're simply doing things out of repetition. We're coming here, we're sitting down, we're getting up, and we're leaving. And then we're off to what we really want to do, our life. And we often forget that our life should be devoted to Christ. And we need to be here, we need to be engaged, we need to be doing what God wants us to do. Because in the end, you've got two options. You've got eternal fire in hell, or you've got heaven, where there's no tears and we'll be with God forever. The other thing is, if we're not growing, that we're still living in the world. So we've become a Christian, we should be growing, we should be putting away those worldly things, but we haven't. There's still things in our life, and it is understandable that new converts that that maybe it takes a little while for them to truly understand the things that are expected of them and to change. But that should eventually happen. We should become to a better understanding of what God desires us to do. But if we're still living like we were before, we have not grown. And even if we are grew up in the church, if we do not change from the way we currently are, we're not taking on more responsibility, we're not seeking to serve, we are not growing. But Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that old man that we lived in, put that away. The new man in Christ, we have a different focus, and so we're not concerned about those worldly things. We're not concerned about what we want. Our physical body, we want to fulfill it. It has desires. We want to fulfill those. But when we serve God and we look on that new man, the new man wants to serve God. And the new man thinks about, is this what God would have me to do? Will this help me get to heaven? And so it's no longer simply doing things, I hate to say it, but more like an animal. An animal acts out of instinct. You know, it's hungry, it does this. Whatever it wants to do, it kind of does it because it's its nature. So rather than simply following nature, we are thinking more about what we are doing and in the long-term impacts of how it's going to affect us spiritually. 2 Peter 2, verse 20 to 22 talks about the dog returning to his vomit and the pig returning from its wash to its wallowing in the mire. Going back into the world is worse than the beginning. We come out of the world, we are saved, then we go back. Well, you know what? That second time going back, it's harder now to come back because now you've got a bunch of other distractions in the way. Are they going to take me back? Now they saw I fell away. We were embarrassed to come back and repent. And so many different things prevent us from coming back. We also, you know, when you kind of pull back, it's almost like a yo-yo or a rubber band. It snaps back and you're like, okay, well, I'm here now. And you stay there. We need to be very careful about that. And we need to be careful for our brethren and watch out for them as well. It is easy to get caught up in the world. Those that come out of the world, they have those distractions and maybe things that they battle with. And so it pulls them back towards it. But we need to make sure that we are not still living that way, that we come away from that. And we do all we can to keep from going back. Perhaps we are putting off obeying or repenting. In the case of Felix and Agrippa, they both put off obeying. Since these are side by side, we'll look at them fairly quickly. So Acts chapter 24, as Paul stands before Felix, Felix heard him preach, heard him talk. He trembled. He was afraid of what was being said, but did not act on it. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go your way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you." He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him, and wherefore he sent for him more often and communed with him. So he heard about judgment, and he was afraid. Probably afraid because he was not living the way he should, and this scared him. You know, if this is really true, it's not looking so good for Felix. But you know what? When I have a more convenient time, I'll think about that those things. Let me just put that on the back burner. Let me not think about it because it bothers me. And I think sometimes we may do that too. You know, I don't want to think about what I'm doing is wrong. I know it is, but I don't want to deal with it right now. I'll deal with it later. I will try to do better later. Or I know I should be doing more. I know I should be stepping up to serve. I know I should be helping my brethren and doing good deeds for them. I just don't have the time. I'll work on that later. When it's more convenient for me, I'll find the time. That time never comes. By reason of time, we've got the time given to us, but we let that time pass. Talk about redeeming the time earlier. You know, we have the time that's given to us. What are we going to do with it? Because you can't go back and get it again. Same thing with Agrippa. Agrippa's told Paul, "You're almost persuading me to be a Christian." Paul told him, "I know you believe these things." But King Agrippa, could not make that commitment. So these are both sad things. You know, the passage about Felix is another one that maybe we should post somewhere in our house or in a car and look at it. When it's more convenient, I'll do it. Too many times I think convenience takes a precedence. What we want to do is more important. And then Acts chapter 22, verse 16. This is one which should spur us. As Paul gives his accounting of his repentance on the road to Damascus, 22 verse 16, here he is told, "And now, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Why are you waiting? You know what needs to be done. You know you want to serve God, but you're just putting it off. And so many of us do that. We know there's change we need to make. We know there's growth we need to have, but we put it off till a more convenient time. Brethren, there's not a more convenient time. That time is not possibly given to us. That time may be taken away at any moment. So how are we redeeming the time that we have? Again, you can't go back and get it again. Many, many, many people look back on their lives. Those that have an opportunity to. There are many that are taken away without any chance of looking back on their lives. But there are those that know that they're passing away. They have old age, and they know their time has come. There are some that get sick, and they know their time is nearing. And they look back on their life. And perhaps they may think about all the good things that have done, and they also think about those missed opportunities that they should have taken. And we're young, we're invincible, we think. Or those that are young or think that we're invincible, at least. You know, it's so easy to get trapped into that. We have time. And when our kids are older, when our kids are grown, all the things that we're going to do. And ask all the ones that have lived long lives. And they'll tell you about that time, how quickly it passes. Ask them the things that they wish that they could do. The things that they would have changed, knowing what they know now. And maybe that will wake us up. So one, again, going back to the lesson this morning, the Bible class lesson, we must redeem the time that we have. But also, we must grow. By reason of time, those that were being written to in Hebrews, they were told that they should have grown, but they haven't. So look at your life and figure out, okay, I've been a Christian for this long. Have I changed? Have I grown? Or am I still the same Christian I was before? The barren fig tree was given time. We looked at that earlier. The fig tree, it did not have fruit. Cut it down. Wait. Let me work on the tree. Let me fertilize the tree. Let me see if I can get it to grow. That's what Christ wants. Christ wants us to be saved. He wants us to bear forth fruit. He wants us to have that opportunity, and we have all the tools at our fingertips. We have God's word that tells us what to do if we would only read it and seek to understand it. If we would encourage our brethren so that they too can grow. If we would be here in attendance so that we would be encouraged and edified. There are so many things that we have, but it's the time. That time we are given. What are we doing? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. We mentioned this a couple times in this lesson. Yes, God wants us to repent. He gives us that time. But again, you do not know how much time you truly have. So make every effort to take advantage of what you have. Let's examine ourselves daily. Let's examine ourselves right now. Are we doing what God has commanded us? What does God ask us to do? Well, he wants us to be a member of the body of Christ so we may have that salvation. He's laid out the plan of salvation for us. We know first we need to hear the word. And we understand that. In order to believe something, you have to hear it. And if you're going to obey something, you need to believe it. If you don't really believe it, you're like the one. The seed was cast on the wayside. There's no belief there. When you believe, you need to repent of your sins. You know, if we're doing wrong, we need to come to Christ, and we need to stop living. That old man has to die. That new man has to come up, and then that new man has to grow over time. We have to confess Christ as our Savior. We have to understand that Christ did come and died for us, and what that means for our salvation. And we need to be baptized as he has commanded us to. Be fully immersed in water, not sprinkling, not pouring, because Christ said to be immersed. And we have multiple examples of that. We have other scriptures that help us understand what that represents. We must be baptized. So if you have not been baptized and you understand that you do need to be baptized to come to Christ, to live that life so that you're not going to be guilty of sin if you live faithfully. So that's a lot that after you're baptized, we need to continue to live as we should. But if you need to be baptized, I encourage you to think about those things. Study if you need to. Study with any of the men here or members, with the elders. And let us understand what God wants us to do that we may be saved and not be in danger of eternal fire. Perhaps you are a Christian, but you notice that you have not grown. Well, that's great if you can acknowledge that and understand. Now let's act on it. We all have growth. There are all things that we can do better at. There are things that I could do better at. And I understand that. I need to grow on those things. I need to stop putting it off. I need to do them. Start acting on them. It's not enough to say, well, I understand I need to do that. Do it. Because otherwise you may be guilty. If there's sin in our life or there's things that we're not doing that we know that we're guilty of, we need to put those away. We need to work on improving and growing. And if we would grow in our service to the Lord, we would be able to help others. Not only help ourselves get to heaven, but we can help others get to heaven. You know, that should be our goal. We should be concerned about our brethren. And so if we try to separate ourselves from our brethren and not be around our brethren, but rather be with others or even just by ourselves, who is that really benefiting? We're also not benefiting. We think we are, but we're not. So I encourage you to think this morning about these things and about the time that you're spending. And hopefully those things will help you realize that you need to grow and that they will benefit you. If there's anything that you need to do this morning, whether you need to come to be baptized, to be baptized in the body of Christ, or maybe you need to repent of some sin in your life and make it known publicly and ask for the prayers of the congregation, we encourage you to not delay. Take advantage again of the time that you have now and do that as we stand and as we sing.